The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord comes from the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle reading comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 5th chapter. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of our Lord. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom are you seeking? Now that seems like kind of a silly question for Jesus to ask of Mary, doesn't it? Mary has come to the tomb of Jesus Christ. It was a new tomb, and only Jesus had ever been buried there. So she probably wasn't seeking Ethel Jenkins or a tax consultant. She was seeking the body that had been buried there on Friday. She was seeking Jesus, her friend. She was seeking the man that she saw die in agony, the body that she hadn't had time to properly prepare for the tomb. Now this morning, is that who you expected to find as well? Are you, like Mary, seeking a dead Jesus, one who was defeated? When Mary came to the tomb on that first Easter morning, she did not come there to celebrate anything. She came with spices and ointments to finish the burial. She came to finish embalming the body of Jesus so that it could lie in peace in that tomb for the rest of time. She came to finalize everything, to close the book on the Jesus chapter in her life. Even though Jesus had told her and the disciples that he would die and rise again, she came that first Easter morning not to celebrate the resurrection, but to mourn the loss of a dear friend. And so when Mary finds the stone rolled back from the tomb, she doesn't celebrate. She panics. She grieves in sorrow and anguish. Assuming that someone had nefariously stolen his body, she weeps and she runs for help. And honestly, who can blame her? Any one of us in her shoes would have done exactly the same thing. When you go to visit a grave and you find it open and the body gone, you will automatically assume that someone has stolen it. When you are seeking a lifeless corpse, you expect it to be where you last left it. And that was Mary's mistake. That's why even when she saw Jesus, she didn't recognize him at first, because she wasn't looking for that. She was seeking a dead body. She was looking for someone who had been utterly defeated and humiliated on the cross. She was searching for a humiliated, tortured corpse without any hope of life. But that's not who Jesus is. And that's why she couldn't find the Jesus that she was looking for. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. The tomb is a place for the dead, and so there's no reason why Jesus would be there. There is no body to mourn over, no sorrow to wallow in, no corpse to finish burying. He who died on the cross defeated death, just as he said. He rose again from the grave. He stood up from what nobody else ever had. Jesus Christ, the real Jesus, the eternal victor, he is not here at the tomb because he is not just a lifeless body, but the ruler and vanquisher of death itself. And so every Easter, every Sunday, every day of our lives, we rejoice that Jesus is not in the grave, but he is risen, as he said. We rejoice that he rolled the stone back in victory and that he lives forevermore. We celebrate Easter every single day of our Christian lives. But do we really understand it? This morning, what exactly drove you to get up so early, to get cleaned up and come here to Trinity for a sunrise service? What exactly is the reason for your Easter celebration today? Whom are you seeking? Are you seeking a Savior who has come to just give you earthly blessings? Have you come this morning because you are seeking a Jesus who will repay you with some kind of a material blessing? Many people seek Him. In fact, just about every single false religion involves some version of Him by a different name. He's less of a God and more of a life coach or a therapist or a vending machine. You come to Him seeking some kind of a worldly blessing, something that's going to make your life a little more enjoyable, a little more blessed. You go to church because you're in need of money or of healing or of new clothes or a better situation. You seek Him out when times are tough because you're just looking for some earthly peace and comfort. But once things settle down, you really don't see that much need for Him anymore. You come because you figured if you put in a little bit of time at church, well, then you'll be more on Jesus' good side, and then He'll owe you one, and you're more likely to get that miracle you're praying for. Is that the Jesus you seek? Or have you come seeking a Jesus who will get you out of a bind, but then leave you alone in your life, let you do your own thing, and just give you a little boost from time to time? Oh, many, many, many people seek Him. He's more of a lifeguard than a Lord, the guy who sits off to the side quietly, just kind of watching over things, not getting involved unless He really has to. And you don't pay any attention to Him either. You don't even notice Him until you start to find yourself in trouble. And then you expect Him to spring into action, swoop in, set everything absolutely right, fix all of your wrongs, and then quietly go back to His chair and leave you alone. Is this the Jesus you seek? Or the one who's all about social justice? Or the one who gives you whatever you want if you say it enough times and with enough confidence? Or the one who only responds if you do some kind of a crazy dance? Or the Jesus who is very flexible on what His word means and tells you that whatever you want to do is just fine? Whom do you seek? Well, if it's any of these, you're going to be very disappointed because He is not here. And for that, you should be very, very glad. You should have the same joy that Mary did when she went to the tomb seeking a dead Jesus, only to find that that Jesus didn't exist. You should rejoice that none of these man-made puppet Jesuses are here today because they are worthless and hollow and they do you no good whatsoever. If you came seeking a Savior who just deals in some earthly comfort and peace or reward, rejoice because He is not here. Because Jesus, the real Jesus, He does far, far more for you than any of those things. Yes, He does fill your life with bounty and luxury far beyond what you deserve. Even if you consider yourself dirt poor, you have far more than most people in this world could even dream of. And even if you had no earthly luxuries whatsoever, you are still cared for and graciously provided for by your Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact is, those things won't last. And so Jesus does not focus entirely on them like we so often do. He's not just about earthly blessings, earthly comfort, earthly healings, earthly anything. Instead, He proclaims to you the spiritual blessings that He gives, the eternal blessings, the heavenly blessings that last forever and ever and cannot be taken away from you no matter what. When Jesus died on the cross, that was not a defeat at all. His death was a willing sacrifice to pay the price for the sins of the world. But more than just the sins of the world, He paid the price for your sin. He took away your guilt, your transgression, every wrongdoing that you have ever committed. He washed you with His holy blood. He suffered the death and agony that should have been yours forever. He died so that you might live. Not just here in this sinful world with a few more gadgets and gizmos, but so that you could live in His holy, righteous, eternal kingdom of heaven. That glorious paradise where death is no more, where sin is a thing of the past, where there is no pain or suffering or sorrow, no tears, nothing but the eternal joy of being in the presence of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, true God and true man, died in your place on the cross, and He was truly laid in the tomb. But on that glorious Easter morning, He shattered the chains of death that bound Him. He rose from the dead, defeating death itself. He crushed the head of the ancient serpent, defeating Satan forever. He rolled back the stone of the tomb, not because it was keeping Him in, but so that the whole world could look in and see that He is not here, He is risen, just as He said. And as He broke the chains of death that bound Him, He broke yours as well. All who look to Him in faith will rise just as He has risen, to eternal life, to the heaven of the kingdom of heaven. All who repent of their sin and acknowledge that Jesus Christ alone is able to save them, they are cleansed completely of every transgression and guilt. All who trust in Jesus Christ alone, the crucified and risen Lord and Savior of all mankind, for us, death has no dominion over us any longer. And Satan cannot claim us, for we have been declared holy, innocent, and righteous in the eyes of God. We have been made His own innocent children, and we have been given, by grace, the eternal kingdom of heaven itself. This is the joyous, eternal message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the wonderful Easter victory that we proclaim each and every day of our lives as Christians. This is the confidence, the absolute certainty that we have as children of God. Do not seek a worldly Jesus, an emergency Jesus, a Jesus who looks an awful lot like you. He is not here because He is useless and worthless. Seek instead the true Jesus, the one who died for your sins, the one who rose again from the grave, the one who changes your life in powerful ways and makes you a new creation. In fact, you know what? Don't even bother seeking for Him because He comes to you. Like Mary, when she was looking for a lifeless Jesus, the real Jesus came to set her straight, to fill her with far more joy than if she had actually found what she was looking for. For each and every one of us sinners, when we are looking for the wrong kind of a Savior, the true Jesus, God in our flesh, comes to us, calls us by name, gives us His word, and fills us with joy and peace and assurance beyond anything that we could have hoped to find. He comes to us in His word, in the waters of baptism, in this blessed sacrament of His true body and blood. And He comes not just on Easter Sunday or special occasions, but every Sunday, every time we gather together as His beloved children. He comes bringing to us His everlasting gifts. So whom are you seeking this Easter morning? No matter who it may have been when you walked through those doors, rejoice that through His blessed and holy word, Jesus Christ, your Savior from sin, death, and the devil, has come to you, has sought you out, has called you by name, has given you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Hear His gospel message with joy and confidence all throughout the year, and share the good news with everyone, that they too may have His gift of eternal life. For by His cross alone, by His empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.